Free or being victimized or extorted by this prisoner, please contact customer service at 855-466.
All subject matter in the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. A recklessly minimal effort has been taken to change the names and details of any guilty parties. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
Greetings from the prison industrial complex. You are listening to the new, some would say decline, Notes from the Pen podcast. I am not your fucking captain, but I am your, we'll see, maybe still favorite convict, Bobby C, and not even in the boat wake, just up here on a mutinous crew. I have one of the usual suspects on the outside, Cousin Greg.
Hello. Hello, world, everybody. How's everybody doing? Rhetoric. I'm nervous.
Yeah, you said hello, world, everybody. Start.
Yeah.
Good fucking start.
And then I went, and then I did the number one thing, hey, how's everybody doing today? And they can't even answer. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of one of those things where, like, if you're taking a flight and they say, okay, enjoy your flight, and you go, thank you, you too. Oh.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy. You say, oh, we're okay. I'm gonna take my seat now. Yeah, now most of you will remember Cousin Greg from the estrogen-filled episode. I don't know what it was originally called, but I think that's what Mama C called it. And I looked back when she sent me like a screen grab of the episodes, and I go, "That's what you fucking called that one? It was already terrible enough. Now change it to something else, whatever." And so one of the reasons. You were the co-host on one, or the person I was talking at, was because the captain didn't like doing certain things. And now that I'm looking back, you know, they were the more emotional ones. He didn't like positive shit. He definitely didn't like love or anything like that. But old Cousin Greg is, he's fine with it. Not only is he fine with it, he likes it in a way that makes me open up and be a little weirdo about, like, yeah, let's be little schoolgirls and kick our Asian feet up behind us and, like, you know what I mean, if we are in our pajamas, like, gossiping and shit. So, you know, moving forward, you know, after hearing from a bunch of the Pebbles and viewers and whatnot, we figured, I decided we got to keep going. Who knows what it's going to look like? We'll figure it out as we go. It's not going to be as smooth or polished because we had a lot of momentum and we definitely had our groove before the ship went sideways. And so, you know, we did the one with the 23-year-old, and then we had a throwback one, which you guys just listened to, which was like a little bonus, the original episode 50. So we could end on a good note here in the captain and your favorite convict. Tell a Guy Ritchie story that's probably too complex for a phone call. Instead of phone calls, we did it. And so here we are. Kind of finding our footing and finding out what this is going to be or what this is going to look like. You know, I don't know. I had talked to you. You had been along for the ride. And by that, I mean I was, you know, you were one of the people I talked to every couple of days. You know, we're there when I didn't know what I was going to do going forward, you know?
Yeah, well put. So let me try this again. Hello, everybody. This is Cousin this is Cousin Greg.
Roger. You started.
Told you, I'm nervous. I have a little intro here. This is Cousin Greg, aka Queen Estrogen, aka Sandals and Flip Flops, your favorite Asian on the outside, and your favorite Asian convict on the other line on the inside. How appropriate right now, right? In the climate, two Asians on the phone.
Oh, God. Now, all right, this is what's going to happen. We didn't really plan this, but it is, I guess, serendipitous. I don't know if that can be used for a negative term. But with all the Asian hate crime going on, so, you know, what I'm thinking now is that we will, I'm sure, give you – you know what? If you look back chronologically, maybe the Asian hate crime doesn't have anything to do with the Kung Flu as much as it has to do with me and you estrogening out in the one episode about love and shit. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And without getting too Asian-y or nerdy, I'm sure we'll delve off into some of that stuff. But first, okay, one thing you don't know about this. So we obviously, without the fancy mixer and mic, that the captain has, and without, you know, Mama C has been trying to, she's moving, and they bought a house, and one they can barely afford, which is, like, right on brand for them. So I do have to become successful at some point in order to come rescue them when they're over their head in a mortgage or, oh, she's me so mad about this. But, yeah, so we didn't really know what was going on. So I started thinking, well, we're definitely going to have to go down to one a week instead of two a week. It's too much for Mom to see. It's too much to do. Even, it was almost too much for me and the captain. You know what I mean? There were times where he just had to take old shit and, like, put it together. But, so we were thinking one a week, one version of kind of this, of with some of the usual suspects out in the world, but really, like, spreading that net out farther, and even having, like, just kind of spitballing, be cool to have just random viewers, like, do little segments where I call in, but the logistics of how we're going to do it comes in. So we're thinking about trying to find, instead of spending thousands, trying to find, like, a nice $100 mic, something, and this is technology that I'm sure exists, I don't know what it is, I don't know if you know what it is, of, like, ideally having someone order a mic that's $80, $100, whatever, and somehow they plug it into their phone, and they can plug in earbuds to their phone, and that way just the recording process is a little more refined. Thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely, it's a great idea. For all you techie folks out there, if you have any ideas, all ideas are welcome. Because that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, like, really going to have to make an effort not to keep just putting you on the spot, hoping that you get nervous and, like, fuck up. Or because you're really giving me a lot of fucking leg room. Because normally when we talk, it's me and you talking over each other half the time.
Yes.
And this time I talk. So, okay, so we decided the one-day-a-week thing probably worked. Well, talking to our favorite comedian, friend of the show, Doug Stanhope, I was talking to him, and in the background, he kind of, I'm on speakerphone, because that's usually how it is. I talk to Bingo or Dave Rader, whoever's over there. We're all Chad Shaley. And so sometimes he's the farthest away from the phone, making a ham sandwich or whatever he's doing. And I hear, like, because he's on speakerphone, I don't really hear, but I hear something funny if I host. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't really hear him. And then towards the end, he's like, yeah, I just did think that would be funny. And I was like, what? And he's like, I don't know how it is with you and your... Because I was, after he got back from the Joe Rogan thing in Austin, I was like, yeah, I really wanted to call you. But he told me, like, he's, like, kind of isolating himself for 10 days before he goes. So I didn't want to be the guy who was, like, breaking his balls. Like, hey, but I don't count for that, you know. And ironically, when I did call him, he's like, 3 fucking days I'm driving and you don't call. You don't, like, we could have been talking, and I'm like, well, I didn't want to be that guy. I said, it's the same reason you don't call Depp, Johnny Depp, a bunch, because you don't ever want to wear out your welcome or be the thirsty guy. And he goes, what? No, Depp can call him whenever he wants. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not, I'm saying in the scenario, you're Depp and I'm you. But what he had said was during the call, it's like, it would be funny if I just took over and was co-host. He said, I would co-host the Notes from the End podcast with you.
Awesome.
And I'm like, first of all, let's not jump the gun here, bud. You got to put in an application like anyone else.
Right. At least take you out to dinner.
Yeah. Let's not assume you're just, I've heard of you before. Sure. You have a 14 hour long comedy special. Sure. I have 2 of your books in my bill, but let's just reel it in a bit. You're
right.
an aging white dude on the down his career. Like, you know what I mean? Is Joe Coy available? That's what I...
Yeah, there.
I was obviously, like flattered and was just like, yeah, that would be... Actually, and then I started really kind of thinking about it, and then the next 2 times I called him, he brought it up again and was basically like, I don't want to have Shaley. Shaley... He's basically told me I do it, I'm down to do it, but I don't know how technically. And I go, you don't know how to do shit technically. Shaley's the one who does. And he's like, I know, but he's got so much shit going on that I don't... And then he goes, Tarek, who's like Bingo's in Bingo's band. He's like, he knows how. And so I realized at this moment, this is the first call still towards the end. I'm like, oh, he's serious. That'd be really.
Yeah.
What he wants to do, we haven't hashed it all out, but we've talked about it a couple of times. And he's serious enough that I feel okay mentioning it. He only wants to do 15-minute, 1 to 2 call episodes, right? So 15, 20, maybe. I'm trying to talk him into a half-an-hour episode. Okay. Now, considering we're down to one, I was like, well, it'd be really cool to do one of Doug every week. Me and Doug do one on Monday, a shorter one. And then on Friday, we do an hour-long one of The Usual Suspects, the longer, more thought, more annoying or thought out or whatever version of me and you or Jen or Linda or Mama C or Ladies Wear or whoever, some version of that as a Friday one. And I don't know, there's a lot of possibilities that I didn't really think about when I was talking to the 23-year-old. She said, oh, I don't know what this would be, but you know, with Stanhope, it, all of a sudden, like, all the pull he has and connections he has could somehow be integrated into the show. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea. Shout out Stanhope. He is a comedy legend. And yeah, he's great. I had the pleasure of listening to Rogan's podcast where he was on. And, wow, we have to discuss that at some point today. We have to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we should discuss it now. And listen to this, you know.
But first, wait, hold on. First, give me a quick rundown. I just grabbed the ore. Isn't that the thing? Listeners need to know that it's an ore. Yeah, I am. Okay, so I have no knowledge of boat wakes. I'm from North Jersey, so it's going to be, you know, fucking, I don't even know what it's going to be, but it's not that. But anyway, what's been going on, man? What's new? It's been a little while. What's going on around there? I think you mentioned the weight pit. Give me a little rundown as to, you know, how you live and what's going on.
All right. Well, what's going on? Really, I don't see how any of it supersedes the Rogan thing. Now,
no.
They reopened the weight pit partially, which is a thing. But I think let's talk about the Rogan thing first. Let me take
okay.
the goddamn ore back from you. You fuck.
All right, you got it.
Fuck you. So Stanhope told me, because he knows I was like listening to Rogan's podcast in the world, like when it first came out, and, you know, so he told me, you know, earlier in the month, he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be on Rogan's on the 24th. I'm going to drive out there on the 22nd. I was all excited. I was like, cool. And there was a part of me later that night was like, imagine, what if he did mention? I would never ask him to or anything like that. That's just not my fucking, that's not, you know me, I wear a V-neck and an act nonchalant.
Right.
Let the rest, like, take care of itself. So, but then I thought about it. I'm like, man, that'd be crazy. So the day he's going to be on there, no, the day after he was on there, I knew he was driving out there early and driving back. I'm standing at the microwave in a soup, and I'm listening to talk radio, and the only talk radio we get here is Bob and Tom in the Morning. It's like a Midwest, you know, more family-friendly talk radio, you know, shit.
Okay.
And there's some funny people on there and stuff. And I hear they're talking about Elton John and Captain Kirk or Spock or whoever it was, and they talk about Elton John. And then as the little, you know, light in the microwave, it's because this is morning time. I'm drinking my first cup of coffee, my eyes have the microwave going, and just out of it. And I hear Doug Stanhope today, and I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, is he dead? Okay, he's got to be dead. Why else would they be talking about Stanhope? And they're like, yeah, it's his birthday today. They were doing celebrity.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Oh, there she
is. So they
is.
Did Elton John's birthday before, and then they did his. And I was like, ooh, cool, fucking Doug Stanhope. That bastard didn't even tell me it was his fucking birthday, you know, because birthdays, he probably hates them, which is the only reason I wanted to tweet at him or, I mean, not text him. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I, you know, I go back, work out, do whatever it is, and then run into the swarthy one on the way to Chow, and he goes, finally saw the episode of Bar Rescue with Doug Stanhope, which there's this show where, you ever seen that? Like the New Jersey type guy.
That's a good show. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, there's one that Doug's on, and he gets super shit-faced, and we've been waiting to catch it, so he's like, I don't know if it's a coincidence or because it was his birthday, he's like, I caught the tail end of it this morning, and I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. I'm like, okay, two weird random Doug Stanhope references. And then later, I call, and I knew he was on Rogan. I don't expect to hear that I don't even know when it's going to come out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let me hit you back. Give it a little break.
Okay. All right, cool. Sounds good.
Thank you for using GTL.
Yeah, we're back. So I end up calling Mama C, and she's got this real giddy boy. I hear something on in the background. She's all giddy. She goes, did you talk to Jen? And I'm like, she's like, do you know? And I'm like, no, what's up? Because I think she even told me something came out earlier that day or the day before. So I was like, it'd probably be a couple of days. And she I said, no, I don't. And then she almost turned it up or holds the phone closer, and it's a segment where Stanhope and Rogan are talking about the comedians in prison, and it's super surreal hearing Rogan's voice talk about like something I wrote and hearing Doug in the background, and was blown away, like literally almost like welled up with tears and like of joy. It was just like, what is going on? Like, what the fuck has happened in the world that, you know, from my understanding, Rogan, I mean, at least when I was out there, and I know he just did the $100 million deal with Spotify a couple months ago, that he was the biggest podcast in the world when I was out there, I believe, between him and, like, Mark Maron. You know what I mean? It was
Rogan, I'll say, Rogan is definitely the biggest podcast out there. An avid podcast listener, I think he's the biggest one. So that's still the case.
And in the back of my mind, I'd always been telling, I remember one time, not that long ago, Doug Stanhope was just, like, all drunk and shit when I was talking to him. And he was like, I was talking to Dave Rader because he was partying and he was in the background. So he gave the phone to Dave, who's like the opposite of Doug Stanhope. He's like a banker, goes to bed at like 8 p.m. every night and shit. I love Dave Rader. And he keeps grabbing the phone and goes, hey, Bobby, did I tell you this? Did I tell you that? And one of them is, did I tell you I plugged you on Legion of Skanks? And I said, yeah, I don't, that's great. Like, I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming it's a podcast or whatever. And I was like, Legion of Skanks today, Joe Rogan tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, he'll be on Rogan's one day, is what he said. I meant just being plugged on it, you know what I mean? And, it was just super surreal and super, I just filled my, it's the happiest I've been since being in prison, which I'm sure most people would say is a low bar, but just couldn't even believe it. Just smile from ear to ear, and I was floating, and just like, you know, I felt so hopeful and just, like, yes, like, I've been working for a while on this shit, and just Doug is the greatest. And I made Jen play the rest of it, and you just hear this Doug is not taking no for an answer. You know what I mean? He's like, no, it's from the pen. Look it up. Pull it up. Look at your, this guy's great. And, it, you know, and Joe is damn near more interested in Twyman, the guy who killed his mom, who's on my JPAD. You know, he's written me a couple times. And, I felt so good that I was actually worried. You know, I've been down this enough, and I'll think, ooh, you know, what comes after a peak is a valley. So, you know, I remember saying out loud to my mom, I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy this peak, though, for a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, you ride the highs, appreciate them, and then that's it, you know?
Yeah.
But it was awesome. And you're absolutely right. Stanhope was taking, was not taking no for an answer. He had Rogan pull it up. They were going through your segment on comedians in prison. You were getting laughs. I mean, I know the piece. It's hilarious. And, wow. I mean, as a listener and as a friend, hearing all this Bobby Caldwell, all this Notes of the Pen on the Rogan Experience, I was like, wow. So I definitely felt the gravity there. That was massive.
Yeah. Great timing by the captain.
I was just going to say, I wasn't sure if we were going to go there, but I was going to say that.
When all the stuff was happening,
bad time
to
jump off the ship.
When all the stuff was happening, after I was dealing with him, but like way down the list, I go, and he knows about this. You know, that Stanhope was going to be on Rogan's. I go, there's a chance he could mention us, man. It's not, I mean, only because I'm sure they're going to talk about the corona, like what he did when he was in quarantine. And one of the things he did was, like, he tried to quit smoking and drinking for 40 days, which ended after 10 days when Shaley made a prison wine recipe, and then that's how they broke it. They got drunk on it when I called it, and we were doing a podcast. So I said, there's a chance. And then, could you imagine? I'm like, can you imagine if we got mentioned on? And then that's what happened. And, you know, I know he was, I'm sure he heard about it and was happy about it, but, yeah, the timing wasn't real great. But here, just to show you about what prison's like, I was floating like that, and it wasn't 10 hours later or however long, you know. Well, definitely it wasn't 24 hours later yet. I'm standing in a line to sign up for the newly partially reopened wait pit. And instead of call out, you got to, like, they put it down. They put the list out randomly, and there's only so many slots, I think 48. And you got to rush down there, and it's a – and there's, like, the next morning, I'm about to get into a fight with a guy because people are trying to cut. And I'm like, any motherfucker He's like, anybody in front of them's a bitch, and da-da-da. And, you know, I'm like, okay, so the greatest feeling I had, right, since I've been in prison, like, look at this, just we're doing it. We're definitely continuing the show now. All these pebbles, all the viewers are along for the ride. Look what we did, everyone. Well, you know, and then, you know, less than 24 hours later, I'm like, you know, prison has a way of reminding you, hey, that's all great, but you're still in prison. And the most important thing now is getting your name on that wait pit list so you can go to the wait pit tomorrow. And so, you know, I just checked myself after that, too. Like, you know, it's after that, it's like, okay, what next? It's great. It's amazing, like, little feather in the old cap. And it was so cool. And I knew I loved Doug before. And this is just the greatest. And but to hear him kind of do that, it was just great. And I felt like, not like for me, but like for me, the captain, the viewers, like everyone, like, look what we did, guys. Like, look at this, like, little humble thing we were doing that everyone's been pitching in on, everyone's been putting in on and taking part of and sending questions and just along for this roller coaster. Look what we did, guys. You know what I mean? I was so stoked.
Absolutely.
And I still am, man. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, listen, you should be, and you're being modest. And so I will go ahead and say that it's a huge it's just a huge, massive thing to be, you know, working as hard as you have been and then get mentioned on Rogan is huge, man. It's a big deal. I'm happy
cool,
it happened.
Man.
Very cool.
And I wanted to nerd out with everyone about it. And, you know, one of the things that happened, seemingly either coincidentally or correlated directly to it, is I talked to, I think, Mama C yesterday. And she goes, did you talk to so-and-so? Did you hear? I'm like, hear what? She's like, there's an imposter. I think it was the word she used. And so I guess that there's a fake Notes from the Pin with an S at the end, Notes from the Pin's account on Instagram with my picture, with a couple of my pictures on it. And they went and followed everyone that I was following. And ladies wear, old purse, was a... real quick to discover it.
I was duped. I was duped by it. Absolutely. I feel like such an idiot. All right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, imitation is, what is it? The best flattery or something like that.
But flattery.
There it is. So I got a little notification, Notes from the Pens. You would think the pluralizing of the pens would have tipped me off, but it didn't. I guess I was thinking, I was like, well, I don't know. I know the boat wake has changed. Maybe this is confirm. And then 2 seconds after, like an idiot, and then 2 seconds after that, I saw the little Instagram story where your mom was kindly letting everybody know that it was an imposter. So I got my revenge. I went back and I unfollowed, and then I blocked it and reported it.
Okay, yeah, I know. Did you hear the story of how Ladies Wear figured it out?
No, I'd love to hear it. Go ahead.
So I guess what this person was doing was like following the people I follow and then messaging them. Now, we don't know what the goal was. I'm assuming money at some point. Which is crazy because it's like, I don't outwardly, like, let me, first of all, I'm not even really asked, but so you're, okay. And that, like, really got me worked up. Anyways, the idea that, like, you're, whatever. But I heard the pictures the person used weren't so bad, so that's kind of takes a little sting out of it. So he says he's sitting there and he gets a message from Notes from the Pins, which I don't think he noticed either. And it says, hey, what's up? How you been lately? And he's thinking, well, I just talked to you today. You know how the fuck I've been lately. And how would I be just fucking messaging him on there? So
exactly.
He said something like that, like, yeah, you know how I've been. How are you even? And the person said, well, I got a phone in here. I got a phone in prison. And he said, what did he say? Oh, yeah. And he goes, I got a phone in here, but, you know, I'm just struggling, but I'm praying. I'm praying for peace and strength and whatever. And then instantly, Ladies Wear goes,
that doesn't even sound like you.
Say less. This isn't fucking Chino. Say less. Fuck off. This isn't Chino. And I go, how'd you know it was me? He goes, because he said pray.
Right. Right. Even I picked that up immediately.
That's not how I'm fucking talk. Wait a minute. And so the guy, so he said, why the fuck would you say that? And then Ladies Wear goes, all right, if this is Bobby, he says Chino in the story, which he's like, okay, this is Chino, then what's one of my nicknames? Just one of my nicknames. And the guy says, I don't have to prove nothing to you. I don't have to fucking prove nothing to you, Florida boy. like taking a shot in the dark, like it, like that was his nickname. And he's like, yeah, fuck you, that's not, this isn't. And then the dude blocked him. And
what
shit.
An idiot.
But later he was like, I don't know how he knew that I was from Florida, because it's not in any of my other social media shit. So,
oh, that is weird.
So he had, I guess he accumulated at the most 4 followers, and then got down to 2, which.
Well, yep. I dropped off since then. So
if he got more than more followers than I don't even think we have that many, too many, a couple hundred on Instagram. But I mean, is this? I think the 23-year-old tweet, is this fame? Is this what fame looks like?
I think it is.
Oh, oh yeah. And then he said he looked at all the people that this person was following, and the one that he didn't recognize as anyone that I was actually following was from Gabon or. Somewhere in Africa.
Okay.
And was like, oh, yeah, scammer, trying to get that bread probably. And, you know, couldn't. And then so I tell the swarthy one, Blaze, and he's irate. He goes, if you want to fucking take some, you know, we're killers in here, bro. Like we're, he's like, what? That's it. He's like, as soon as I get the stimulus check, I'm spending $300. We're going to get his phone number. We're looking this guy up. And I'm like, settle down. He's like, tell him I'm going to $150 him when I get out. I'm like, I'm not telling him anything. First of all, he has all of us blocked and shit. He's still irate if I bring it up. I said, you're not spending $300 to find, especially because he didn't get anything. He didn't rip off any of the viewers, hopefully. So if you guys are it's notes from the pens. Maybe he meant to write notes from the penis and then left the eye out. Maybe
that's true. Maybe he was trying to go out on his own, you know, do his whole, you know, his own thing.
My
and it's actually, yeah, that actually, that, that's
penis,
maybe he has a podcast about, I don't know, some type of correspondence between his penis and.
It would be hard to tell the difference at this point between his and ours. But I like to think that somehow there was a guy in Africa listening to the Joe Rogan Experience, and it's like, what is this? And he's like, okay, I got you. We'll see. So there's some things to take away from this. I think first of all, it's both sad on his part and kind of braggy on my part. Like,
mm-hmm.
That I'm doing good enough. I'm a guy in prison. So, out of all identities to steal, you want to take a guy who's in fucking prison? You can actually switch with me if you want. Like, you can actually have my life. Like, I'll give you it. Come do my time, and I'll go to Gabon or wherever the fuck you're from, and then try to figure something out. If you really, you know what I mean, got it that bad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Kind of makes him a little funny to me. And it's kind of funny. You bring up a great point that of all the people that he could choose to
identity thief.
Right. He goes like I feel like I'm picturing him somewhere in in some sad room, and he's like, darn it. I gotta get back to the drafting board. I gotta figure out a new one. He's on to the next because that one didn't work out. Surprise, surprise.
Well, his friends, they all got, attractive blonde women with, porn star pictures they're using. And he's like, this guy really thinks outside the box, though. His friends were all telling him. He's like, that's not – they're like, come on. Come on, Jeff.
Yeah.
Come on, Jeff. This isn't going to – he's like, watch. You guys are – everyone's tired of the old porn star with the amazing ass and the Instagram.
Right.
You have 1 minute remaining.
The Persian prince.
Chick with great tits. Watch how good. Maybe he's the best. And he's like, watch how good I am. I'm gonna take this half Asian dude that's in prison right now and watch how much money. I'm blocked. Never mind. I've been reported.
Yep. On to the deck.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna hit you back.
Yeah. Yo. Give me 1 second. I have to put more money on the phone. It only took me 1 second.
Oh
though.
My god.
All right.
Are you gonna do it like
I'm doing it right now.
Okay. Because I'm on my favorite phone right now. And I'm
Don't get off it.
I'm not getting off. I'm all jazzed up. And my Asian friend can't even fuck. Just is not prepared. Now, when you say breaking down
I'm bad with numbers.
Right?
I'm bad with numbers.
This isn't one that's a good one. Break down other ones. Make your dick bigger. Don't.
I know. That would be. No.
Instead, not punctual and irresponsible with the are you doing it yet? Do I have to be off the phone?
Yeah, you got to be off the phone.
Thank you for using GTL.
Oh.
All right, we're in business. We're in business.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, a lot has, taken place since you know, in the meantime. So I was thinking, like, yeah, are we going to do this? Or, you know, maybe I'll just go back to writing more. And then all this shit started continuing to happen, like, as it has been, everyone knows, for the last 4 or 5 years. That was just like, oh, shit, I'd like to talk about this. Oh, shit, I'd like to talk about that. Oh, shit. And then coincidentally, we kind of touched on it with you on the phone. Let's talk about this sudden explosion, or at least exposure of what is deemed Asian hate crime now, right? What do you? Where are you with this?
Yeah, that's definitely been a hot button, and I would be...
I'm all for it.
Yeah. I would be lying if I said I was not disturbed by it. I find it very disturbing, and I spend a lot of time being pissed off about it, to be quite frank. So the listeners know that we've kind of discussed it before. I mean, the episode that actually that comes to my mind is, you had categorized. I think you talked about the emasculinization of the Asian man. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I actually had Mama C retweet link to that episode, just because all this stuff was going on and some of the subjects were touched upon. And for the first time in a long time, or ever probably, I saw every news channel scrambling for whatever Asian people they knew to get them on there and have them talk about their experience. And there were things in there that I went like, oh shit, that's like the stuff me and Greg talk about that like only other Asians know about.
Exactly.
You know, but like little stuff, like where are you really from? You know what I mean? Shit like that.
Right. But, right. And do you know Kung Fu? Stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but we went over, so we did do an episode where it wasn't focused on that, but I kind of talked about that. And this over-sexualization of sex objects, the Asian female.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And kind of correlated to what the shootings in Atlanta kind of capped a bunch of this stuff off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough time to be a woman, and it's a tough time to be an Asian. But yeah, so I brought that up just moments ago because, you know, you really kind of captured really well the nuances of, you know, things that we deal with, right? Like we don't even in I can't help but to be almost apologetic about it. Right. Like it's just written into the code of being an Asian person that we don't want to make waves. And we're not outwardly demonstrative, you know, and we just sit back and we do your taxes or we, you know, take care of your bedside or whatever the hell. Just generally, you know what I mean? And we're quote unquote, we're good minorities. Good little minorities.
Model minorities, I think it's
model minority. Yeah. And right now it's a time where it's like, hey, if you have all that inner rage, you know, let it fly because it's the right time, unfortunately, because so many, you know, hate crimes are happening right now. So I obviously have a huge problem with it. It makes me angry, but, you know, beneath anger is hurt. And do you remember, even before this giant spotlight was shown upon it, obviously Atlanta really highlighted it. I was, you know, you and I were talking about how upset I was about this Filipino man that got knelt on and killed and got very little coverage. He happened to be Filipino.
Last name. Last name. We were going to talk about it before the boat went off the water.
Absolutely. Well, his last name is Quinto. I have to get his first name. It's on the top of my mind. It should be. But
how do you say it?
Quinto. I believe his last name was Quinto. I'm going to fact check that. But it took place out in California. Yeah, Quinto. Quinto.
Oh, okay. Quinto. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He took place in the Bay Area. He's gone. He's dead. At the hands of police. And
I remember
know.
You saying
I mean,
that you could hear his accent of saying, and you know that accent because your mom and dad have that, your family has that Filipino accent where
his
was
name is Angelo. Yeah, absolutely.
Angelo.
So his name is Angelo Quinto, okay? And the thing that hit me was in the video, his mom is talking. You know, what happened? What did you do? But she's speaking in an accent of which I've heard my entire life. And every time it drives something home like that, it immediately makes me think, well, there's my mom. There's my aunt. And it becomes so personal. And that's how this entire, if I had to encapsulate it, that's how this whole thing feels. It feels so personal. And I can only imagine how, and I'd like to know how you feel too, as an Asian American person, you know, in this time. And, you know, I mean, it's wrong and it's, it's rough.
Well, I'm kind of glad that there's the exposure to like some of the things that have been going on and the idea that the whole, like, demystification or the addressing of the model minority.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, model minority, I never got the fucking memo. You know what I mean? I was
right.
out there doing things.
Nor did
but
I.
But here's the thing with me. Culturally, I'm not culturally Asian. My dad is Korean. For those who don't know, my dad was Korean, like a real renegade. He just jumped ship. And, this is some of this abandonment issue with the captain. The captain really hurt me so bad. But he jumped ship, and it was me and Mom, oh, Mama C, who at the time was Mama Kim in my original last name.
Mm-hmm.
She was married in. So Mama K. So culturally, I didn't grow up knowing a lot of Asians, and I wasn't around a lot of Asians. I felt like the other, was made to feel like the other, and all that stuff. I knew I looked different, and I remember some of my earliest memories were people asking my mom if she adopted me. Like, oh, he's so cute. Did you adopt him? And I remember her kind of getting offended and stuff. So I didn't know that much about that stuff, so I don't... I've never been your stereotypical Asian, right? I don't have that, like, demure, like, keep quiet type thing, you know, that was never instilled in me. I wasn't around it. And, you know, I'm not saying that, like, it's a wonderful thing because now I'm in prison. Yay.
Yay.
Look at me, you know what I mean? But I've always been a little, but I don't feel it as, I can tell it, like, really bothers you. Now, to tell you the truth, if I didn't see this stuff on the news, I wouldn't know any of this is happening. This is stuff that's being told to me. My everyday life isn't affected. No one's doing none of that shit to me. When I was young, I used to fight a lot because people would say, call me a chink or ching chong, shit like that. And I would fight and I would check people. And I've checked people in here about the shit. But, you know, a lot of these hate crimes are things that are happening more because they say the percentage is way up, but also it becomes, they're reported upon more, which makes them, you know what I mean, makes it seem like it's happening to everyone everywhere. And I'm not discrediting any of this shit, right? I'm trying to give a perspective of what it's like as being an incarcerated Asian person, right, who didn't grow up culturally Asian or half Asian. And this isn't about you, don't take it this way, but this is like something I was talking to someone about kind of recently, I think Andrew, where I said, I think I talked to you about this too. Being indignant or outraged about shit, even if it's completely right, I'm not saying it's not right, is a luxury that people take for granted. Like, we don't have so much, like, we're worried about the shit that's actually affecting. Now, though the Asian hate crimes are affecting people's lives for sure, but it's not affecting mine in a way that I can allow my mentality, my mental state or any of that shit to be fucked up behind it, right?
That makes sense.
I get worked up in the sense that's like, yeah, these bitches are picking and choosing who they fuck with. They're fucking with 80, 90-year-old women, most of the case, and then some guys. And it's like, but they're all old, feeble, not feeble, but frail, like vulnerable. It's the ultimate bully shit. And so me, I'm going, yeah, they're fucking hoes. They're cowards. I wish a motherfucker would type shit, which doesn't solve anything. It's kind of a stupid way to fucking think, you know, but it makes me want to protect people and go like, well, I wish I was out there and I knew who that guy was and whatever. But there is a luxury to being able to be like outraged by shit that I think a lot of people in here don't really have the luxury of being able to afford things that aren't your immediate vicinity or affect your immediate day-to-day life, the type of attention that maybe you guys can out in the world. And that's not to me steal the victimhood card and go, but we're more than, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to figure out why it doesn't affect me in a way of like anger and shit, maybe as much as it affects you. And, you know, it's probably the cultural thing, but it's probably also like, you know, where I'm at and shit. A little
bit. Yeah. No, all of that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the one thing that you can't escape, regardless of how you grew up, whether you're in the culture, half in the culture, not in the culture at all, when you step out, the world sees you as an Asian person. You know what I mean? You happen to look, you're an Asian person. So, you know, that's, you were just talking about how, you know, when you grew up, fighting people if they call you chink, you know, things like that. You obviously know
that regardless of the way you grow up, the world sees you in a certain way, contingent upon or in direct correlation to how you look. Mm-hmm. You know, like
But this is, hold on real quick. So this is kind of what I meant by that, was by, it seems that a lot of, so like we've kind of established this through the show, I don't really care as much about myself as I do the people I love that are around me, right? Like those are the, not, you know me, this about me, 90% of the fights I got into were for people around me, not for me, not someone did shit to me, right? So the inherent thing that you said you hear when you hear that action is you picture mom. Right, and all that. That's kind of what, because that's where my focus is not necessarily myself, but the people around me, that I don't have that inherent, like, that's my mom, that's my sister, that inherent, like, mental tie to, you know what I mean? I almost feel like, I guess, emotionally, like I'm a standalone Asian in a way. That doesn't mean I put myself there, but
it's. Which is an interesting position as well, which.
I don't have an emotional, like, the emotional tie in my mind. When I see an Asian person, I can only go, that could be me. I don't ever go, that's my sister, that's my mom, that's my brother, because that's not how my sister, mom, or brother look. I don't have a brother. But I do, the only thing I can do is, that could be me, and in certain situations that was me. And you know how, everyone knows how I am about being viewed as the victim, so I don't complain about my, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to figure this out, of where this comes from. And I'm not saying it's healthy to just constantly, like, oh, I'm fine, don't worry. But I think maybe psychologically that might be where the difference between our reactions are. Because, I definitely identify, you know, I've been treated as, and I'm half Asian, but America treats me as full Asian. They don't treat me as half Asian, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I could tell, like, talking to you, I really hope that shit changes for, like, my son and that type of stuff. And the idea that everyone's talking about it more, I think, gives more recognition to things that people don't ever, like, know, the shit that might be, like, insensitive or annoying. And, like, being called Oriental when I was younger and shit, and like, how that's, like, unacceptable now.
A goddamn rug. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's another thing, too, that, like, I was kind of taught or told that is supposed to be unacceptable. Because for a while it wasn't. Just like the word colored wasn't a bad thing for a while. And then you learn, like, oh, that's not right. And, you know, so the same thing kind of happened with Oriental. And I understand why and shit. But, yeah, it's. I feel relief that a lot of this stuff's being talked about. But I have more of this approach to it. When it has to do with me, which I guess is how I'm kind of identifying with this, it's, I'll be fine. Yeah, it sucks. What, you guys didn't know this was happening? Yeah, this happens. Oh, you didn't know this? Yeah, that is, you know, whatever. But talking to you, I remember you really were upset that the Quinto guy's name wasn't put out there because it didn't fit, I believe, didn't fit the narrative of the police violence narrative, which was that they're violent against black people, which is true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if it doesn't fit the narrative, then it doesn't get any play. And this guy wasn't dark enough to get the play that we probably should have.
You have 1 minute remaining.
You know what I mean? Been talking about.
Yeah.
And I remember telling you, send me his name, like, I'll put it on the show, and then the show stopped for a little while, so, like, I wasn't able to.
Yeah, and we're putting it down now. But, no, there's no denying that all this stuff going on, definitely. I'm not unaware that it preys on my, psychological or emotional, you know, shortcomings or experiences and stuff like that. It just brings out, you know, it's a triggering thing. It's a hot button for sure.
Yeah, and then tied in with this, like, everything that's been going on, too, since we've last been able to put something out, is the Derek Chauvin trial's on right now. You been catching any of this?
Yes, absolutely.
Me, too. Been watching it. And I've had a couple observations. First of all, when it first came on, I didn't barely notice the guy balding, and he's got his mask on, and I'm like, who's the guy with the furrowed brow, like, furiously jotting notes down? I'm like, oh, that's that fucking murderer. That's fucking
him.
Piece of shit. And what is he writing? Did anyone got any fucking guesses of what he was? Cause that.
Thank you for using GTL.
Yo. All right. So this is, we'll fucking knocked this last one out. I've been in line there for just jerking people around the island for a while now. So, yeah,
no,
so
the
Chauvin thing is it's hard to watch. And then seeing his defense attorney get up there, I just really realized, like, I'm like, everyone hates Chauvin, right? That's easy.
Yeah.
That dude's a piece of shit, and you just know he is. Like, I've dealt with cops like that before in my life, and I think everyone's seen people like that. But seeing his defense attorney with the express job of getting up there and defending what this dude did, oh, how does this guy live with himself? And he has got to be the second most hated person in the country right now, if not the most.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's painful to watch this fucking turd be on there and try to justify this guy fucking just blatantly murdering a human being on camera with everyone shouting around, oh, the EMT lady that's a firefighter at, down the road, and she's like, check his pulse. And, like, everything they could use for an excuse was, like, countered by people that were there in the moment, and also George Floyd saying, you're killing me, you're killing me. You know what I mean? So you can't be like, I didn't know, you know?
Yeah, no, no doubt. I've caught a number of clips, and each witness, it just gets sadder and sadder. And you can really see the ripple effect of people that were completely and forever changed by what they witnessed that day. That man is a monster, stone cold killer. You know, I wonder if he has any remorse. I don't know. He's a monster. And you're right. You bring up a good point. You know, who chooses to defend this guy? I mean, how could you? I don't know. Maybe that's, I can't.
Yeah, well,
I can't,
someone
has
to, right? Like, no matter what, someone was going to, right? Someone would have to. But I don't know. Like, there's, like, that argument, like, in Nazi Germany, it was like, well, if I didn't do it, someone else was. And it's like, yeah, unless everyone wasn't a piece of shit and everyone said no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, I can't imagine. Because everyone does deserve, like, I'm usually on the other side of that fucking
due process.
Yeah, everyone deserves to, but, ugh.
Ugh, is right.
He should've just, if he was a man, listen, if he had any fucking self-worth left, he would have been like, yep, I'm guilty. Sentence me. I deserve to go to prison for life. And I'm not going to put anyone through a trial. And I'm not going to make some other guy get up here and defend my actions. I'll take a life sentence. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, his name, by the way, folks that are out there that don't know, although I'm sure you do, is Eric Nelson. That's the wonderful attorney that has elected to defend Derek Chauvin, Eric Nelson. And from what I understand, he's not exactly working alone, to defend him either. He's got police legal funds, you know, backing him up, bunch of money, who knows.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah, real.
So Chauvin, is that the name from, do you know the etymology of chauvinist? Like, it had to be a guy. No, seriously, it had to be a guy.
No, you're right.
That was like a dick. And then this guy's like, it's been a while since our name's been dragged through the mud. He's like, there's a chauvinist. Chauvinist means a whole new thing now.
It absolutely does.
Everyone,
his family was in the business of being chauvinistic.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to be like, let's branch out.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to just hate.
We have to diversify.
Can I tell you? Let's also do it based on the melanin they have in their skin.
Yep.
You turd, you.
Such a turd. What kind of effect what have you seen in, obviously there's a huge case. Is there, what's the ripple effect of what happened to George Floyd and, you know, in the Chauvin case, which is, look, nobody forgot about what happened to George Floyd.
I haven't.
But it was, well, what's it like over there?
Well, I haven't seen this kind of goes back to the thing I was talking about the luxury of like with the whole Black Lives Matter thing, there's a kind of a reaction that I guess now I'm thinking about it, realize I'm having towards the Asian thing, is that people in here are going, yeah, of course that's what's going on. Of course it's been happening. Like, what, you guys are surprised now? Oh, you guys are all surprised and outraged now. And so, yeah, we've known about this forever. And, like, life goes on. You know, you guys are talking about the most outward, the most public arm of the criminal justice system. And you guys are finally seeing undeniable proof that it's corrupt, fucked up, violent, and, like, biased, right? We know that. We've been saying that to you guys forever. And if you think the most public version, face of the criminal justice system, which are the police and the people who actually interact with, and then the next removed, you see less of them, but they're still in the public, is the judges and the prosecutors and DAs. But we're in the third level of it, the most hidden version of it. So if those other two are outwardly corrupt, what do you think's going on in here? Because we're in that part of the fucked up part of the criminal justice system. And the fact that you guys are all outraged is great. We're all like, yeah, it is fucked up. It's great that there's some attention on it now. But it's like, you know, forgive us if our energy level isn't as high as yours, because we've been saying it forever and we're living it every day.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's an interesting perspective. You're right.
You know what I mean? So to us, even like, I guess now that it makes sense that I was saying about the Asian thing, it's like, yeah, I've been fighting that fucking thing, you know, outwardly, more outwardly, not as a model minority for a long time. And it's like, yeah, it's wrong. And yeah, it's good that there's attention to it now, but there's a feeling on our part in here, like, yeah, of course it's been going on. We've been saying that forever. Oh, you guys are just now. Okay, so now there's also a thing that's like, so now that you guys noticed it, now it's like valid. Okay, cool. But what about when we've been, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yes, I do.
And so there's not like with the Black Lives Matter, with the George Floyd, there was a thing that even with like the Donald Trump outrage that everyone had out there, it wasn't like that in here. There's a more immediate, you know, there's a distance between that stuff. You know, it's like the world is telling you should be outraged or happy or whatever about this, that, and the other thing, but we're in here. And we're like, yeah, you guys can tell us what we should be into or against all you want, but we've kind of got our own problems. And that's good. Like, we'll have an opinion if you ask us, but it's not all-consuming.
Right.
For the people in here. It's not like what you would think.
No, that makes a ton of sense. I think, you know, simply put, you know, being incarcerated is you are being removed from society. And you're placed somewhere else. And so, you know, when all these societal issues are all over, you know, the news and they're happening, you know, it makes a lot of sense that there would be kind of a barrier between that and what your day-to-day life is. And it does make a ton of sense as well when you say things like, you know, it's kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, things that are going on in front of you, things that affect your day-to-day, well, they take precedence, and that makes all the sense in the world, because you've got to, you know, you're concerned with, you know, eating, health, violence, all the things that allegedly may or may not go down in prison.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, though, like, it takes active effort, right? Like, I watch this stuff, and then I have my opinion, but I'd be lying to you if I said that there's not a numbness or a layer of removal, and also like being a cynic too, like kind of feeling a little bit of that like annoyance with, like, you know what I mean? Like the newly found outrage for something that like you feel like you've been screaming about for years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, that should be out. Everyone should be outraged by it, but it's not like I was just, it's not all, people care about that stuff in here for sure, but it's not, I think you would think, like, from the outside, like, oh, they're about to riot in there over that shit. It's not the case.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're more a little more realist about it. Like, yeah, of course that shit's been happening for a while, you know?
You know, this funny small thing, shout out to our friend, this is a little bit inside baseball here, but shout out our friend Tilson, because something I remember back in the day, and for any listeners that are local and they know Tilson, he's fairly legendary. He used to say a funny thing when you and I used to show up, right? Like, he'd be living over at the hippie house, we'd show up, and then he would, you know, once he had a couple in him, he'd make this funny joke, and he'd be like, how is it, because you were saying that, you know, the Asian, the model minority, and how you'd never fit that mold. And, yeah, I've been influenced culturally and things like that, but I, too, have always had problems because I never fit that mold either. And then Tilson used to say, how am I, obviously he sounds much more belligerent than this, I'm not about to try to do an impression of him, but he'd be like, how am I friends with the two most effed up Asians? How does that? The two most effed up, the two of them. I'm friends with both.
Yeah, he was like a stoner type who would be like Spicoli almost. And he'd go, Bobby, you're one fucked up Asian, bro. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, clarification. It was all love. We love Tilson. I mean, it was just so funny. And we'd be sitting in there just standing in the room, beer in our hand, like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
He wasn't wrong, though.
No, he wasn't wrong. And, you know, he got to see me, like, on the couple last spirals of a downward spiral down in the Keys for a minute before I left and stuff. And, He'll be doing all right. Yeah, so listen, you know, it's going to – I just want to tell the viewers, like, you got to stick with us. Thank you for sticking with us. We love you. And even if it dwindles down to a core 200 people, you know, viewers or whatever, or 10 of us, like, this is going to keep going on. You know, let us get our fucking legs under us, figure out what this new iteration is going to be. I will contact the captain soon. And, you know, allegedly, supposedly he's got some ideas and he's going to J-pay him to me. So I'm looking for those before maybe I call him. But, you know, and we're not going to rule anything out. We love you guys. I know this is, we went from like having a mixer and mic and all this shit, but we're working on stuff. We're still trying to get, you know, back in a groove where this shit is natural and easy and, well, it was never flawless. But, yeah, we love you guys for sticking around, and I appreciate you, Cousin Greg, for doing this. And, you know, we're gonna figure this out, we're going to keep talking, and I hope you guys keep listening and, you know, give us a little bit of time to figure this old ratchet-ass setup we got out. There are things in motion, things in progress, and we're going to keep moving forward. And we know it's not perfect. You know, you guys are as responsible for this product as anyone else. You know, you guys are involved and can take credit on the Joe Rogan experience, and you got to take the hits too when they're not the greatest episodes or they're different. We love you guys, and you know, this is just like it's been from the beginning, an experiment in a connection beyond prison walls, and also conveying the story of what prison is like. And I think now we get to have more little pixels in that story, and by that I mean conversations with more pebbles. And you know, I like to work something out with JD, maybe Ashley Bell or Diana Bell or John Lee or Ghost Gerbils or just all different kinds of the viewers out there, and we'll talk about whatever the fuck comes up, and nothing off limits, and all love and all open mind, and things that maybe we couldn't have talked about before we're going to talk about now. Yeah, thank you, Cousin Greg. You know,
my pleasure. Absolutely. Cousin Greg, a.k.a. Estrogen Queen, a.k.a. Sandals and Flip-Flops. I'm here anytime. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. And, yeah, so any of you techies, look up a microphone or something and a little handheld mixer. Maybe we could plug into a phone so we could get a little better quality on some of these. We're going to put some stuff out with Twitter for viewer questions and maybe even viewer phone numbers. And maybe we're going to call and we're going to do all kinds of experimental. One of the things that's great about this is we're not held in down by any sponsors or even success, really. We're just free to do whatever the fuck we want. Let's just fucking ride this thing till the wheels fall off or we drive off a cliff Thelma and Louise style. You know what I mean?
That's right. I love where this show is headed. I love the energy. And I just wanted to say that piece that I really like where
yeah,
everything is at.
And you really fucked up this one. You really botched your one chance, and you got weird right at the beginning. And
yeah, but look how I'm so cool now. It's crazy how cool I'm. So I'm like, look, I'm looking at my hand. There's no jitter. There's no nada.
So you say. All right, listen. On behalf of the 23-year-old, the imposter, Notes from the Pins account, do not follow it on Instagram or Twitter or any of that shit. Mama C, the captain. Cousin Greg, all you fucking nutty pebbles out there are stuck around and are sticking around, and me.
You have 1 minute remaining.
The mutinous traitor, Bobby C, a.k.a. Chino. We love you, and we are gone.
We gone.
To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, go to notesfromthepen.com. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.